Summer, Don Henley for Tom 1. And Tom 2 asks for The Stranglers and Midnight Summer Dreams, Summer Sizzlers. 18 minutes past 8, the Full English Breakfast Show. John Lydon is embroiled in a high court battle with his former Sex Pistol bandmates after refusing to allow the group's songs to be used in a TV series about the group. Mr. Lydon, formerly known as Johnny Rotten, of course, will not grant permission for the punk band's hits to be used in Pistol, a six-part miniseries about them directed by Danny Boyle, the filmmaker behind Trainspotting and Slumdog Millionaire. The show, starring Game of Thrones actress Maisie Williams, is based on the guitarist Steve Jones's 2016 memoir Lonely Boy, Tales from a Sex Pistol, and was due to be broadcast on a Disney-owned FX channel next year. But Lydon's branded the programme a disgrace and claimed that a script has been written and an actor, Anson Boone, selected to play him without his participation or consent. Now, Steve Jones and the band's former drummer Paul Cook are challenging Lydon's veto over use of the song catalogue in court. They argue the 1998 band agreement means that landmark hits such as God Save the Queen and Anarchy in the UK can be licensed for use with a majority decision of the band and former bassist Sid Vicious's estate. The producers fear Pistol, which was shot in London in the spring, will have to be scrapped if Lydon's veto stands. Now, the original band member Glenn Matlock is backing Mr. Jones and Mr. Cook, along with the estates of former bassist Sid Vicious. Now, the Pistol shots to fame after an infamous expletive-written interview with Bill Grundy, which was broadcast on Thames Television in 1966. You filthy rotter. That one, yeah. It was Steve Jones who said that, actually. They have reformed on several occasions since 1996, but the current row is said to have severed relations between the members. Yeah, I did read Steve Jones's book. I wasn't actually that impressed with it, and I don't think I'd watched the series. I was there the first time around. Anyway, I could play Holidays in the Sun, couldn't I? But that it would fit with the theme, but it hasn't been requested. So instead, I'll play the Isley Brothers for Pam. Business. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are we today?
Very well, thank you. Friday's Manchester's best day of the week.
And the Open Championship's on as well, which makes it even better.
It is better, and it's got off to a nice start. I think the course looked absolutely fantastic. A bit of luck, the wind will blow a little bit, the rough looks difficult, and Louis Oosterhuizen, who's a magnificent player. There's few players in the game better with a wedge than him, and I think he's in good shape. If his putter goes, could be fantastic. Lots of English challenges in there as well, so I think it's setting up to be a fabulous Open.
Do you fancy a go around there, do you?
Oh, I would be all right around there with my game, no problems. Probably four under par yesterday. I probably would have shot something around that.
40 over par, I would think.
If anyone who's played with me down in the south of France will know, that is somewhat of an exaggeration, quite frankly.
Shame about Rory, though. I mean, he can't seem to get his game together, can he?
He birdied the first. He had a terrific first hole, and then it sort of fell apart for him and a little bit loose towards the end of his round. Let's hope he can get it together. He's lost form, hasn't he, in the last couple of years, you have to say. Some of his stats still remain very good, but you look at the victory column and it hasn't been fantastic for him.
7 years since he won a major.
Wow, and there were so many hopes and opportunities there. But I guess like Jordan Spieth, who had some time in the wilderness, there's every opportunity for them to come back and thrive once again.
Okay, let's have a look at the markets. Mixed on Wall Street yesterday, chip-related shares leading tech stocks lower.
Yeah, because he's under pressure really across the board. Yes, there's policymakers become more vocal about the risks from inflation, which could lead to an early policy liftoff and infringe upon corporate profitability. On Wall Street, energy, consumer discretionary, technology shares weighed on the S&P 500. Growth favourites, Amazon, Alphabet, of course, the owner of Google, dropped from record highs. Benchmark index, S&P 500 closed down 0.3%. NASDAQ was down 0.7%. Marking the third straight decline. 10-year Treasury yields fell below 1.3%. Over in Europe, Stock 600 actually underperformed, fell 1%. Energy shares were the worst performer, tracking crude prices lower. Markets also concerned, of course, by the rising spread of the Delta variant, which could lead to a reinstatement of restrictions. There was weakness in the online retailers yesterday. This after ASOS shares slumped 18% after saying sales had softened due to poor weather, particularly in Britain, along with supply chain pressures. Boohoo Zalando shares also coming off on the back of that update yesterday. Opening calls on the European bourses continuing that trend to the downside. Currently calling FTSE down 14 points. DAX over in Frankfurt down 12 points. CAC on Paris off 1 point.
Is Sir Andrew Bailey growing a pair of wings and a beak?
Not that I'm aware of. I don't think he's becoming particularly hawkish at this stage. But we are hearing a little bit from the central bankers, from the Monetary Policy Committee in the UK about rising inflation pressures and perhaps the time to start thinking about reining in that quantitative easing programme. Still not talking about, I think, higher rates. I think in reality, the Bank of England will want to wait to see what the labour market looks like as the furlough scheme unwinds. And we'll probably have to wait until, I think, February in order for them to come to a conclusion around that particular argument. But in the meantime, I think the narrative will be that the Bank of England stands ready to fight inflation if it does look like it's becoming sustained above the target level.
Is he Rishi Sunak's yes man?
I wouldn't say that. I think the Bank of England will continue to be vocal about the idea of the importance of being independent. So I don't think that link that you used to find between the government and the Bank of England in terms of pressuring them is anywhere near what some would describe as the bad old days.
Oh, you're such a politician. I could see you in the House of Commons. Let me make it clear, Mr. Speaker, you'd be really good at that.
I would be good. Many people have asked me to run before, and perhaps that's something I will consider when the time is right.
But it's either that or a future in Threadneedle Street, isn't it?
You would imagine the bank would need me at some stage. I think you're right.
And so modest with it. Pretty good times for Daimler.
Yeah, reporting much higher earnings than expected for the second quarter. In fact, 26 better than analysts forecast. It's able to charge more for its vehicles as industry supply remains constrained by the global semiconductor shortage. Earnings for the Mercedes-Benz maker surged to 5.2 billion euros in the second quarter. Consensus was just over 4 billion euros. Profit margins at the car and van division reached double digits for the third straight quarter. Daimler's coping well with the chip shortage, focusing on making higher margin cars and not offering discounts to customers. Back in April, Daimler forecast Mercedes-Benz unit would be more profitable than it had been in years. They're seeing resurgent demand for cars as restrictions are lifted following the pandemic, or as we come out of the pandemic. It raised its projection for annual return on sales for its cars and vans division to 10 to 12%, up from 8 to 10%. Daimler share has been a strong performer this year, up around about 28%.
Talking about luxury cars, I had to laugh this morning on the way to work. There I was, minding my own business on the inside lane, yes, doing 90 through the tunnel coming towards Monaco. And Alan Prost overtook
me. Roof down.
Top up, air conditioning. Alan Prost overtook me in the fast lane. I think it was a Lamborghini. It might have been a Ferrari, but he must have been doing about 180 or even faster. Boom, straight through the radar. Camera went off, so he's going to get a nice little present.
How do you know it's Alan Prost?
No, that was a metaphor.
Oh, an Alan Prost type. Okay, I was going to say he's in there Switzerland.
Could have been Nigel Mansell, I don't know.
I don't know if he goes that fast. Oh, dear. Were you pleased with that?
Well, you know, I mean, I know people like fast cars, but the road was empty, so... But no, you shouldn't really be driving that. If you want to drive that fast, go to a racetrack. There's plenty of them around.
You are becoming a little bit older, aren't you?
I'm Victor Meldrew.
Everything annoys you now.
Victor Meldrew.
Everything gets you down. You are becoming a grumpy old man. Now,
I don't believe it.
You came to the south of France with a spring in your step and a dance and a merry tune in your head. And over the years, it's just got darker and darker in there, hasn't it?
Yeah, I've still got a spring in my step, but, you know, having a bit of trouble getting lift off these days. Right, Netflix finally.
Arthritis. Netflix getting into games. The video streaming business has hired executives from games maker Electronic Arts and Facebook to lead the effort, with hopes to launch a service on its platform within a year. Currently doesn't have a plan to charge for the extra content. No doubt perhaps that will change if it becomes popular. Netflix shares only up around 1.3% this year. Good performance last year, of course, but are looking for ways to keep growing and stand out from the competition. Netflix has been adding to its children programming proposition, been opening an online shop to sell merchandise, and has tapped Steven Spielberg to make high-quality movies for them. Its subscriber numbers are still ahead of rivals, but over the last reported quarter, they added fewer than expected. So the pressure on for them to continue to grow, and maybe they need to diversify out of TV and films to add a gaming division.
So you condone people doing double the speed limit on the motorway, do you?
No, I don't think so. I think, you know, people should abide by the correct rules and regulations of the country. And if they wanted to do that, of course, there are public roads in Germany that allow that type of speed, or indeed they should find themselves on a racetrack. They're putting everyone else at risk by their reckless driving.
So, of course...
What? What are you laughing at?
You learned the hard way, didn't you, with the Australian police and all about you?
There was a brief incident on the Bruce Highway. Can you believe it's even called the Bruce Highway? That's crazy. Well, I've forgotten where I was going from up to Cairns, I think, somewhere along there. Maybe Brisbane to
You
Cairns
weren't going around the back of Burke.
Unfortunately, I fell a little foul of the police authorities there.
Is there a Sheila Highway as well, then?
I don't know if there is.
Right, I think we'd better wrap this up. Foreign exchanges, please.
It's gone very wrong this morning. Pound against the dollar, 1.38. Euro dollar coming in at 1.18. Going to get 1 euro 17 cents for your British pound this morning.
Thank you very much.
Enjoy your weekend, sir.
Try and behave better on Monday and enjoy the golf.
Thank you. Have a good weekend.
Bye. Hank Boston Barclays.
On FM and DAB Plus across the Côte d'Azur, on your phone and worldwide online. This is Riviera Radio with the latest local news for the south of France.
I'm Rob Harrison with the top stories across the Riviera. Nice Airport says a strike by baggage handlers and ground staff risks disruption to flights today. Road and tramway access and announced the terminal building is also set to be affected, and passengers are advised to contact their airline before setting out and follow live updates from the airport, nice.aeroport.fr. Fears of a fourth wave of the pandemic in France are growing as the Delta variant continues to sweep across the country, and the government urges the public to get vaccinated. Numbers of cases are almost doubling every 2 weeks, although hospital ICU occupancy remains relatively low. Locally, the under-30s are the most at risk of becoming infected, with figures from the Alpes-Maritimes showing a surge of 165% in positive tests for the 20 to 29-year-old age group. Millions of people across the country are registering for vaccination before the first phase of the government's health pass regulations come into force. From June the 21st, anyone wishing to enter a cinema or theatre will have to produce a valid QR code showing double vaccination or a negative PCR taken in the previous 48 hours before being admitted. From the start of August, use of the pass will be extended to shops, bars, restaurants and other commercial enterprises. Non-vaccinated French nationals and others coming into the country from Spain and Portugal will have to show a negative PCR of not more than 24 hours old before being allowed in from this weekend. The French European Affairs Minister Clément Beaune says the people returning will not have to isolate, but the PCR test will be mandatory as cases of the virus spiral on the Iberian Peninsula. The governor of the Banque de France has said that he doesn't think the introduction of the health pass will have any negative effect on growth. François Villeroy de Gallo says that, on the contrary, the health pass and, by extension, an increase in vaccine take-up should help to stimulate the economy. Some professional organisations in France have speculated that having to produce a health pass will see people stay away from restaurants and shops. But in an interview with France Info Radio, Mr. Villeroy de Gallo said he was in the interest of everyone to move towards vaccination, which he said would not only protect public health, but also jobs. The governor added that costly data from each successive wave of the pandemic showed a gradually lessening impact on the economy, and that the biggest threat to growth was not the virus, but the difficulty firms are having in recruiting staff. Nearly half of all firms recently surveyed by the bank said that they were having problems attracting employees, which Mr. Villeroy de Gallo said was unacceptable, given that unemployment is still at 8%. It's the final day of competition at the 74th Cannes Film Festival before the jury led by Spike Lee start their deliberations on who should be awarded the Palme d'Or. There was drama near the Palais de Festival on Thursday when the bomb squad had to be called in following the discovery of a suspicious bag in the baggage storage area near the casino. The area was evacuated and sealed off while officers examined the suspect item and then destroyed it safely. The final two movies screening in the Palme d'Or competition today are Les Intranquilles, or The Restless, a Belgian drama from director Joachim Le Foss, which deals with the struggles of a couple, one of whom suffers from bipolar disorder. The final movie is the Australian drama thriller Night Tram, directed by Justin Kurzel. Caleb Landry-Jones stars as Nitram, who lives with his parents in 1990s suburban Australia and doesn't fit in until he strikes up a friendship with reclusive heiress Helen, played by Judy Davis.
When he was a little boy, we used to play a game at the fabric shop in town. He'd go off and hide in all the big, tall rolls of fabric, and then I'd try and find it. He loved it. I loved it. But then this one day, I went to find him, and he wasn't there. He lived everywhere. Not in the silks, not in the cottons. Ran into all the shops, strangers were stopping to help me, tears streaming down my face.
What did you do?
I gave up and went back to the car. But then I heard someone laughing. I looked around, and there he was. Lying on the floor of the back seat, looking up at me, laughing. Laughing at my pain.
Nitram.
Laughing like it was the funniest thing in the world.
Whoops, sorry. The final film competition at the Cannes Film Festival today. All the beaches in Saint-Laurent-du-Var had to be closed on Thursday following a fire at a water treatment plant. The fire, which was caused by an electrical fault, was brought under control quickly, but the entire premises had to be cleaned and ventilated afterwards, forcing authorities to close the beaches. And a suspected Islamist militant has been arrested after bursting into a shop in the old town of Nice and screaming Allah Akbar, God is greatest, on Thursday. The store owner hit the alarm button and a nearby police patrol rushed to the scene on the Rue Saint-François-de-Paul and apprehended the man, who's now being held in custody.
Riviera Radio, sports news.
Golf has been an exciting start to the Open Championship at Royal St George's, where Jordan Spieth hit four birdies in a row in the first round of 65, but was bested by a 6-under 64 from Louis Oosthuizen. Brian Harman of the United States shares second place on 5-under with Spieth, who was happy with his day's work.
I've really loved this tournament, played well here, whether I've come in form or not. And so last year, missing being able to play this tournament was certainly something that... that I didn't want to do, and now we're back, and it feels actually inside the ropes when we teed off on the first tee forward. It feels the most normal of any tournament I think that we've played thus far.
A cluster of players, including Webb Simpson, are on 4-under, and many are on 3-under, including Justin Rose, Tommy Fleetwood and Danny Willett, all of England. But it's Oosthuizen who leads the way heading into the second round, and he was extremely happy with the way he played.
It was one of those where, if you look back at it, probably hit a lot of perfect shots the way you thought of hitting it. I think I sort of just went out and enjoyed it, and just was probably a little bit more aggressive on some iron shots because I felt that comfortable. But and I rolled it nicely. But a lot of golf left, but obviously a great start to the tournament.
Cycling is just a question of formality now for Tadej Pogačar as he closes in on a second consecutive Tour de France title. The Slovenian emerged victorious at the end of the final mountain stage of the race to Luz Ardiden after leaving his rivals trailing in the dust. Today's 19 stages, 207 kilometres on the flat between Morenx and Libourne, and could give Mark Cavendish the chance to best the all-time record for Tour stage wins set by the Belgian legend Eddy Merckx. Football. Five people have been arrested in connection with the racist abuse of the England players who missed penalties in the Euro 2020 final. Police describe the abuse as utterly vile and say that inquiries are ongoing and more arrests are likely. The UK Football Policing Unit said it was still working through a significant number of reports of racist abuse. Here's the rest of the day's news from BBC Sports.
BBC Premier League update from the home of Premier League football.
Hello, this is Joe Parsons at the BBC Sports Centre. The Arsenal star Bukayo Saka said he knew instantly the kind of hate he was going to receive after his penalty was saved during England's Euro 2020 final loss against Italy. Saka and Jadon Sancho had spot kicks saved, and Marcus Rashford hit a post as the Italians won the shootout to win the tournament. The BBC's Tom Gale has more.
Since Sunday, Saka says he stepped away from social media to spend time with family. The 19-year-old felt like he'd let the country down when missing his penalty, but he knew instantly the kind of abuse he would receive. He's adamant the experience won't break him, but calls out Twitter, Instagram and Facebook to do more and ensure no one receives such hate online. Saka thanks his fans for all their support and signs off with "Love always wins."
Five people have been arrested after the trio, who are all black, were racially abused online following the defeat. West Ham have had a £10 million bid for the England goalkeeper Sam Johnstone turned down by West Brom. The 28-year-old has 1 year left on his contract, and the new Baggies manager Valerian Ismail has said Johnstone is likely to leave before the start of the season. The club want around £20 million for Johnstone, who has one England cap. And Crystal Palace are close to agreeing a permanent deal for the Chelsea defender Mark Gouy. The England under-21 international underwent his medical on Thursday and will sign his contract in the coming days. Palace, under new manager Patrick Vieira, have already made two signings after completing deals for Michael Olise and goalkeeper Remy Matthews. And for more football news from the BBC, go to bbc.com/football.
BBC Premier League update from the home of Premier League football.
Formula One first practice takes place for the British Grand Prix at Silverstone later as the new experimental sprint qualifying format is tried out for the first time. There will be a second race in addition to the main event, with a so-called sprint qualifying event tomorrow afternoon that will decide the grid for the main race on Sunday. The starting order for the sprint race, which is just over 100 kilometres in length, will be set in a normal qualifying session, which will follow first practice today. Championship points will be awarded to the top three finishers in the sprint race, with three for first, two for second and one for third, and the end positions will decide the grid lineup for Sunday. Max Verstappen leads Lewis Hamilton by 32 points heading into the weekend, with a capacity crowd expected at Silverstone and hot, sunny conditions forecast. And in cricket, two India squad members have tested positive for coronavirus ahead of the five-match test series against England. Wicketkeeper Rishabh Pant and training assistant Dayanad Gurani have both tested positive and are isolating. The India squad has remained in the UK following the ICC Test Championship defeat against New Zealand and will enter a bio bubble ahead of the series against England, which starts on August the 4th.
The weather forecast, brought to you by Accelerate Marine.
Four coastal areas up to 20 miles offshore the Almarasim and the Var. The general situation is a depression, 1,012 millibars between the Ligurian and Tyrrhenian seas. Winds are variable, force 2 to 4. The sea is slight. Visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Saint John Cap Ferrat, 1,013 millibars. And the outlook for Saturday, clear skies, force 2 to 4. Southwesterly winds, slight seas and good visibility. For North Corsica, winds are westerly, force 2 to 4, the sea is slight, visibility is good, barometric pressure at Cap Corse, 1,012 millibars, and the outlook for Saturday, clear skies, force 3 to 5, northwesterly winds, slight to moderate seas, and good visibility.
The weather forecast, brought to you by Accelerate Marine. For enhanced, high-performing connectivity on board your yacht, speak to our expert team today about our VSAT and 4G packages. Visit connectmyyacht.com.
The weather forecast brought to you by Polygon Riviera in Gagnes-sur-Mer, open-air shopping and leisure centre.
One or two showers dotted about in the Almarasim this morning, partially cloudy after that, light variable winds, highs of 24 to 26 degrees. It's way down for the time of year, really, isn't it? Overnight lows 17 to 21 degrees with clear skies. The weekend, clear skies, highs of 27 to 32 degrees.
The weather forecast brought to you by Polygon Riviera in Gagnes-sur-Mer. Open-air shopping and leisure centre. Shops, restaurants, cinema, casino, gym. There is something for everyone. Only 20 minutes from Monaco and Cannes. Visit polygon-riviera.fr.
Finally, an 18-year-old is to become the youngest person to fly to space when he joins Jeff Bezos on the first human flight by his space company on the 20th of July. Oliver Damon will fly in place of an anonymous $28 million winning bidder of a public auction. The winner of the auction couldn't fly on the mission due to scheduling conflicts. What could be more important than going into space? The teenager is the son of the Somerset Capital Partners CEO Joe Damon. Mr. Damon has secured a seat on the second flight, but he was moved up to the first when the winning bidder pulled out, Blue Origin said. He then chose instead to fly his son, who's a physics student. He will also join 82-year-old Wally Funk, who will become the oldest ever person in space, And Mr. Bezos and his brother Mark will make up the rest of the passengers on the new Shepard rocket. The previous winner of the auction has remained anonymous, even as the launch edged closer, and the nature of the conflicts which led to the withdrawal have not been disclosed. Must be something pretty important. But let's hear it for Wally Funk.